Someone told you knee pain is just getting older? They were wrong. The Joint Relief Institute offers fast joint pain relief covered by Medicare. Call 708-888-0000, as in zero pain.
And here we go. Welcome in episode 9 of the Blackhawks Crazy Podcast, here live as always from the beautiful WGN studios on the 7th floor right here on Michigan Avenue. I am Mike Jacobson from WGN Radio. He is Scott King from the Red Eye, the sister slash cousin slash brother publication of the Chicago Tribune. Scott, it's been too long.
Mike, how are you?
It's been 1 week, but good to see you again.
Good to see you. Close to the holidays now.
Getting close.
Getting your shopping done?
No. Thanks for reminding me, though. No, I did do a gift card today.
Oh, good.
But I'm not going to give it away because a certain person might listen to this and then it'll spoil it. But it's something nice, something I haven't done in a long time. So let's just say it involves food.
Oh.
And a very fancy, expensive type of food.
You got a family member McDonald's gift card is what I'm gathering.
I went Chipotle. Yeah, I went a little bit fancier than that. And they're all in the family, too. So Chipotle is owned by McDonald's. So
There you go.
But no. Spent a little bit of money. How about
nice.
You? Now, you've got a youngin'. You've got lots of family
Yeah, I
members.
Got the baby some stuff. There's some stuff that's for the baby and the mother. You know, it's like, hey, look what I got you guys type thing. And got some of the family, a couple of things. But I got a lot more to do, too.
Yeah, it's
right here also.
We're 9 days away.
Ugh.
So I'm actually happy that Christmas is on a Friday.
It's awesome, man.
That is a good thing.
Yeah, it's great.
And then next week, actually, the Blackhawks, after Tuesday nights, they'll have a bunch of nights off, I believe. So they actually get a nice little holiday break. And hopefully everybody that's listening out there today to us, or whenever you're consuming this podcast, has themselves a holly jolly Christmas as well. Happy Hanukkah to all of those as well, too. So we are here in episode 9, and let's just dive right into it. Last night, it all came crashing down. The streak that we all loved, we all came to know, the Patrick Kane point streak ends at 26 games.
It's all over. It's done, but it was pretty exciting. It was something that hadn't been done in 23 years. Since the 92-93 season, has a player had a 26-game point streak?
It's unbelievable. And look at all the guys that he passed along the way. You know, when at the 18-game mark, when he got to 19, he passed Phil Kessel and Eddie Olczyk as the longest streak for an American player.
And that's a crazy record right there. Look how many good American players there are in the league right now.
Mm-hmm. And then you got, obviously, a legend in Bobby Hall. Blake breaks the Blackhawks record for point streak. And then he ends up beating the most active player that had the streak going, and that was Sidney Crosby.
Sidney Crosby.
He's kind of a good player.
He's all right.
He's all right. He's okay. He plays for the Pittsburgh Penguins or something.
Might have heard of him.
So he beats that streak, and it all comes to an end last night. And, you know, it was inevitable it was going to happen. There's not one person I knew that thought, all right, he's gonna keep this going, and he's even going to come close to threatening Wayne Gretzky's 51-game point streak.
It's such a tough game now.
And in a weird way, I think it was a sense of relief for not only him, but his teammates and the coaching staff. I mean, it's a bummer for fans and or, you know, us who cover the team because it gives us something to talk about on a regular basis. And you know what? Actually, Patrick Kane, you know, he talked about it after the game, and it's kind of a load off his shoulders.
It was a good run. Didn't have it tonight. So I think, you know, when you have to talk about it every day, it gets a little taxing. But, you know, I'm excited just to play hockey now.
Just get back to hockey. And I could see how that's stressful. You know, you're constantly talking to us about it
each
and every day. And I've been in at least 3 or 4 of those scrums in these home games where the streak has continued. And you could tell he's just sitting there and he's like, here it comes, here it comes. So I do understand why it's a sense of relief.
Yeah, the crazy thing is, Mike, that this lasted almost 2 months. 2 months of not only him just contributing that way and getting a point game in and game out, but like you said, 2 months of talking about it. And from our
perspective, it's exhausting.
It is exhausting. It's not just for him. It's the whole team. From our perspective, from a media perspective, all the Hawks players I found these last couple seasons are a great quote. But they'll be honest with you. You know, when there's a lot of media and there tends to be with these kind of situations, it's something to talk about, something to write about, that they get a little tired of the media always being around and always asking the same questions, even though I think they handle it very well. Kane's been, you know, talking about this and how much it means to surpass those other players and for the team and for the league. He's given great quotes on it, but now he can just relax and, like we heard, focus on hockey.
Focus on hockey, and I think Coach Q kind of echoed those same sentiments after the game last night as well. Here's Q.
Well, I just think that I'm sure it's probably going to be a little bit less stressful, or you know, the attention is, you know, it just keeps getting bigger and bigger, and you know, it was very remarkable the way he kept the focus and the preparation, and you know, going forward, you know, I think it'll be back to business as usual.
So there you go, Coach Q. Kind of feels the same way too. So I mean, it was fun while it lasted, but as the old saying goes, everything comes to an end.
Maybe he'll start a new one. Maybe he'll go another 2 months and score 40 points.
Wouldn't that be something? All right, so he loses the streak last night. Then he's going to start it back up tomorrow
night. 27 games.
They got the Oilers coming into town tomorrow night. Then he's going to end up going to 27
games.
Yeah,
right.
That would be something.
Hey, again, if this was The Price is Right, I did say 24 games. And I thought that I was way over.
I was impressed.
Thank you, sir. I thought I was way over on that too, I got to say. But part of me is like, you know, it's Kane and he's having that kind of season. So if it was The Price is Right, I would have gotten a car or something.
Well, here's the thing. At least he beat the streak of the Golden State Warriors because they lost after 24 games.
That's right.
Now, it's obviously a different scenario, but
it's the exact same in my mind.
Hey, got a different. There you go. That's right. I like that. I like that attitude.
Yeah.
Blackhawks Crazy Podcast here. I'm Mike Jacobson. He is Scott King. So we're going to just put the Kane streak to rest. It's over. It was fun. We move on. Now, we go on to the biggest news of the week since we've had our last podcast. We had ourselves a trade, and how many questions did we answer from our listeners who can get in hold of us, by the way, using the hashtag BlackhawksCrazy on Twitter. You can visit us on Facebook at facebook.com/BlackhawksCrazy. I'm at Jacobson Radio on Twitter. He is at Scott King Media on Twitter. But we got numerous questions, probably the past two or three podcasts before this.
Yeah.
What's happening with Trevor Daley? Are they going to keep him? Are they going to ship him?
Right.
Does he fit in? Well, he clearly did not fit in, and for whatever reason, it just didn't work out here. Pulled the trigger this week on a trade. Stan Bowman said, you know what, we got to do something about this, and he did.
Yeah. Well, Puck Daddy did a story on it for Yahoo. I believe Joshua Cooper interviewed Daley over the phone, and we'll get to some of those quotes in a minute from Daley. Very interesting stuff. But it came out that he asked for the trade. He felt like he wasn't getting enough ice time. And, you know, there was talk before that the Hawks might trade him because he wasn't fitting in too. So maybe he saw the writing on the wall, or as you'll hear from the quotes, maybe he was just frustrated with his ice time and not contributing the way he'd like to.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, here's one of them, because there's several of them here, but quote, Chicago, every part of me playing there, being there, the guys, everything I heard about Chicago was unreal and everything lived up to it. The only thing that I didn't like about Chicago was the games, which is a pretty big part. So right there, that's a pretty...
I would say it's the biggest part.
That's a pretty... Well,
as awesome as the fans are here and the city and everything, that's his career, and I understand him, yeah, you know, wanting a different scenario there.
But everything else was unbelievable. The team was a great hockey team. The guys were amazing. City was awesome. The fans are great. I can honestly say I took a lot of positives out of Chicago, but at the end of the day, I felt that I needed to play, and I think that's how we got to where I'm at today. So he just wasn't happy with his role on the ice, and I think it works out, you know, in the favor of the Blackhawks and the Penguins, who were on the other end of that trade, and
yeah,
and who do they get back? Another defenseman, older fella, 36 years old, in Rob Scuderi.
Yeah, and if you look at the math and the cap hits, you know, they're both around $3.3 million for a cap hit, and you have the Penguins retaining a third of Scuderi's salary. So the Hawks get about $1 million in cap relief from this trade. So at the end of the day, that's what it's really all about, is the cap relief.
Always comes down to the cap.
Mike, so they're going to have options now. Maybe they carry an eighth defenseman, call up a Gustafson or a Svedberg. They were interested in those guys, mm-hmm, early in the season. They got some playing time. Scuderi, look at him. Won two cups, one with the Penguins in 2009. Talking about Crosby earlier, with the Kings in 2012. So like you said, he's a veteran guy, 36 years old, 25 games this season before coming to Chicago. He's a +4 with 4 assists. I think you mentioned also he's a stay-at-home defenseman. So that's kind of – he will fit in more. And I think that he said coming to Chicago, he just wants to be the invisible man, you know, and that's what you want your defenseman to be for the most part, unless they move the puck around a lot, is just play their game and not – be noticeable. So Quinville, I think, liked how he played last night. He said he had a good game. So far, so good. We'll see how he does.
It's got to be a whirlwind. I don't care if you are a professional athlete and you've been through this before. In 24 hours, your world's basically kind of turned upside down, especially if you have a family, which I don't know if he does. I would just assume that he does.
Yeah,
children.
At that age, it's safe to assume.
So you're in Pittsburgh, and then you get a call, and then, oh, yeah, but you're gone. I think he said that he was in the lineup for the game for the Penguins, and then he got the call.
Yeah, he took the warm-up skate.
Yeah, he took the warm-up skate, and then they said there might be a trade, you know, go ahead and undress. And then he gets shipped, and then the next night, 24 hours later, he's skating for the Blackhawks.
Yeah, he said he smiled when he heard it was Chicago. Who wouldn't?
But yeah, could be worse. Could be a lot worse.
You're right. It's a tough thing because not only do you have to try to get some chemistry and get along with your new teammates and, you know, go through the getting to know each other, but you're also getting used to living in a totally new place and figuring out how to get to the United Center, how to get to Johnny's Ice House, when are the team meetings, stuff like that. So, yeah, it's
little
tough.
Little things that I don't think a lot of people really think about. Like, all right, the guy got traded, whatever. There's a lot of little nuances and little things that they need to learn and adapt to in a very short period of time. And, oh, yeah, by the way, learn a brand new system.
Exactly.
And Q system, how many times have we heard that? Q, the way he runs his team, is very unique, and it's not always easy.
And Scuderi will find that out as soon as he slips up when Gustafson's playing that.
Yeah.
And he's been around for a while, and he kind of knows what he's getting into, so maybe that doesn't happen. Maybe they really like how reliable he is flying under the radar.
Yeah, and here I thought this was pretty funny. I saw this in the Chicago Tribune today. Scuderi skated with Roosevelt last night. And that means that the bottom defensive pairing combined for an age of 73 between those two guys.
Combining ages? What are we doing?
I know, but I just thought that was so funny.
That's hilarious.
I think Christopher Hine had that. I read that, and I said, wow.
So maybe instead of the both of them, they just find one 72-year-old guy who plays pickup and is kind of okay.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. And speaking of numbers, he chose the number Scuderi 47
You're right,
with the Blackhawks,
yeah.
And there's actually a little bit of special meaning to that, isn't there?
Yeah, something I think I think he had two boys, and one's number four, and one's number seven, and maybe his old number was 74. I think was the reason.
Something like that. Yeah. So he kind of just mixed and matched the numbers.
Yeah, there's always a number. Sometimes, you know, when you're a younger guy, they just kind of throw one at you, and you have to wear it, you know, if you hate it. But you know, older guys like to put a little meaning into it.
So a guy that's been to the dance before, like you said, two cups, a veteran. He's not. I think he's just one of those guys that's not going to try to ruffle a lot of feathers and just kind of fit in. And, you know, Trevor Daley was clearly unhappy, and I don't think Q was very happy with him. An offensive defenseman who did not produce at all for the most part. You know, obviously a weird couple of weeks for him after that very, very scary injury where we saw him get taken off on a stretcher with that upper body injury. Fortunately, he was okay, but emotional couple weeks for him.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
That's a great point. It's not been easy. You get take a, you know, what could be, I think he wound up being okay and passing all the protocol, but that could have been a massive head trauma and very tough thing for a guy to go through. And then he, you know, gets traded, whether he asked for the trade or not. It's still not easy, like we said. So very tough couple weeks for him.
So then we got the game last night we can get into a little bit. Avalanche coming to town and, you know, shut them out. They were very aggressive. That's a very fast team. And, you know, the Blackhawks just, they weren't in sync at all. And that was kind of strange. I mean, right in the first period, they took two penalties. And that set the tone right away that wasn't very good. And then Corey Crawford, who's been absolutely magnificent, and I know you got some numbers on him, finally gave up a goal after back-to-back shutouts. He was the number one star of the week in the NHL. And last night, he didn't have the defense in front of him, and he just didn't have his best game either. Gonna happen, but the guy was on fire prior to last night.
Yeah, on Monday, named the number one star of the week for last week. He went 3-0-0 with .33 goals against average.
Is that good?
I think it's pretty good.
All right.
I think giving up .33 goals against average is a little ridiculous.
Yeah, a third of a goal. Yeah, that's not bad.
Almost a 99% save percentage also. And two shutouts in that week to help them. And then after those, the Blackhawks climbed into second in the Central. So that was a heck of a week for him, and very deserving of number one star. And he also went seven periods without allowing a goal before
It's like 155 minutes.
Yes. I think it was 155, 16 seconds. Yeah,
where he didn't give up a goal.
That's insane. 6-2-1 in his last nine. And not just last week, but he has four shutouts this season already.
Yeah.
We're in December. And also, last week was back-to-back shutouts, too, with the Canucks and the Jets. And those are good teams, too, that play well.
Yeah, and, you know, the Jets are a very good team. I think that's a team that's on the come, and that's a team that's going to be very dangerous.
They were my sleeper last year. I thought I thought the Hawks would play them.
They're another
in the conference final last
another
year.
Another fast yeah. team. Another fast team. But whatever it is, the Avalanche, they just seem to have the Blackhawks number.
It's a few things, I think.
It just seems like, obviously, their goaltending was fantastic last night as well.
Yeah.
So it's just, I don't know what it is. I think another team that, a fast team like that seems to present problems to the Blackhawks.
Yeah, well, like you said, goaltending, we'll look at that first. You have, the Hawks can never seem to get Varlamov's number. They can never take advantage of him. He's 8-0-0 since he first started playing against the Hawks
That's
in 2013
ridiculous.
With three shutouts.
Well, the fact that Patrick Waz is coach too,
it doesn't hurt.
Yeah, it does not hurt. That's for sure, and it definitely does help.
And I mean, also last night you have, if Patrick Kane, since he's been hot, if he's not scoring, it's usually someone else on that line mm-hmm. is able to, if not just for his line for the Hawks, and that didn't happen. And what we had before was all four lines are playing great, and Bickle had some chances on the doorstep last night. He took two whacks at it right in front of Varlamov.
Yeah, he got the rebound, and yeah. I don't know how that didn't go in.
So I guess not.
That would have been a great confidence booster for him.
Oh, yeah, and he's been playing well. He's been doing what he's supposed to do.
Well, they have spread the scoring out a little bit. The game prior, the Rasmussen line. Looking pretty good, the Rasmussen, Bickle, and Shaw, and Shaw was playing fantastic the past couple games. So they're starting to spread it out a little bit. But now my question to you, real quick, is:
sure.
Kane streak's over. This is something that's been rumored for a while. I think it's going to happen. Do you think it's going to happen? That second line gets broken up. Maybe spread that out and see what you can do. Because I felt like they kept that together specifically just for the streak.
I
don't think it might not happen tonight or tomorrow night or this weekend, but I think sometime in the near future there's going to be some juggling going on.
Yeah, I don't know if he kept together just for the streak. I know Quinville was kind of like almost mad that the players are trying to get it to Kane and getting away from their game a little bit. I think he just knows that's one of the best lines in the NHL, and he did break them up like a month and a half ago.
Yeah, for
I
want to
say, and Panarin was not able to fill that role as left wing on the first line very well. He struggled there a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I don't know if you want to bury him in a third or fourth line. So, and Anisimov is your guy at second center. He's been doing so well with faceoffs and getting to the net and getting the puck to the other guys. So I think that line's pretty untouchable unless they go through like a three-game losing streak. I don't think just – the Hawks have been hot lately, and everyone's been playing well, like we said. So I don't think they start to break things up after one loss, at least not the second line. Maybe you see some personnel changes in the third and fourth. But for now, I think that line stays intact.
A couple other notes from last night. How about that – and they both involve Francois Beauchemin and just a monster of a man – first, Hossa just completely fools him out of his skates. Is that how you would say it? I don't even know. He just juked him out of his
skates. Kansas City. I just said.
It's all right. Kansas, that's why we're a podcast.
The Kansas City Shuffle, I believe it's called.
Yeah. I mean, he just made him look silly.
Yeah.
Made him look silly. And that just shows you Hossa. I mean, he's just such a good athlete, and he's just so smooth with
the
puck.
He embarrasses a lot of players.
He does. He does. And at his age, it's pretty impressive.
Oh, yeah.
And also, the second thing involving Beauchemin was the Shaw hit on him in the third period. As soon as I saw that hit in the boards, I said, and that was pretty high, I said, yep, might be getting a call from the NHL office there. Maybe a suspension, maybe a fine, but as of right now, according to Chris Cook from the Chicago Tribune, a source telling him that he will not face any suspension for that hit on Beauchemin.
Yeah, and the reason he said was that it was accidental contact with the head, but he said his source told him it was a close one. So I think looking at the replay, if you slow it down, it doesn't look like Shaw came in high. It looks like he went high to like jump into the boards and maybe avoid more contact with the head. He kind of jumps up off his skates towards the end of it into the boards, and, mm-hmm. and I think both their heads kind of hit each other. So
yeah, once you actually do slow it down, and I actually went back and watched it, but my initial reaction was like, uh-oh, mm-hmm. that's not good. But apparently he's gonna be all right. And Shaw, that's what he does. You know, he's one of the
big hits. Gets under guys' skin.
Yeah, he gets under guys' skin. He's an agitator, and that's basically his role. And you know, prior to last night, I mean, nobody really played well last night. But
no.
Shaw has been really impressive and been all over the place. And it's always nice to see. And the fact that they're starting to get more production out of those third and fourth lines moving forward, that's something that's going to bode well for them because, again, we've talked about it a million times, you cannot keep depending on that second line to give you all of your offensive production.
No,
it's not going to happen.
Yeah, I'm going to talk a little bit about that for my Kings keys later, that they're going to need to find what they had before when everyone was contributing, and they should be fine.
Well, speaking of those Kings keys, why don't we just get to those right now? What do you think of that, buddy?
All right.
Why don't we just get right into them? Kings keys, we do it each and every week. His name's Scott King.
That's a great one.
So we came up with this thing to call it Kings keys, and that is his keys to the next couple of games in order for the Blackhawks to pick up a couple of points in each of those games. So what do you got this week for us?
Just one, and it's a simple one. Don't get discouraged just in one loss where you get shut out, like last night against the Avalanche. The Avalanche, like we said, always have their number, but before that game, so much was working. They had so much consistency. I think they won three in a row, especially with the way Crawford's playing. But they just need to do what they were doing before and not get thrown off because of one tough loss. And they're going to have a chance to regroup against Edmonton on Thursday. So hopefully we see the consistency we saw in all four lines and guys just filling their roles like they were before.
Yeah, I mean they did look good against the Jets and the Canucks. They did not look good last week. You know, it was late last week now, but that 5-1 Predators loss that they had was brutal.
Yeah.
And Q, I've never seen Q that angry in a long time. Said that was maybe the worst first period of hockey that they've ever played under his
exactly
watch.
Right. And I think he complimented Shaw maybe that game even. He said he was
the
best player.
He was the one guy.
Right.
And he didn't put any blame on Darling.
No, you can't.
You couldn't.
No.
I mean, that game could have been. It ended up being 5-1. That could have been 5-0 in the first period.
Yeah, they had a horrible first. Nashville was really pressing.
Nashville
Darling,
came out.
Darling making all these saves right away. He can only do so much. You know, stand on his head for so long.
Mm-hmm.
So they lose 5-1.
I'm curious to see. I want to see Darling back in net because he has been a little bit inconsistent this year, and I just kind of want to see how he keeps developing because we keep, you know, I mean, he was a great story last year, the hometown kid, and obviously he's had a lot of personal struggles in
this
life.
They don't win a cup without him. He doesn't get past Nashville last year.
No, exactly. But he's still a guy that I consider to be unproven still, and a guy that's been around the block many, many times. And you know, I just want to see what he does moving forward. But he's, I mean, still a fantastic backup. But I just want to see if the consistency stays.
I think he's a little unlucky in a way that I think it was the beginning of the season when Emery and Crawford were the tandem, that they weren't playing well for Crawford in the beginning of the season, but they were playing well for Emery. I think he's a little unlucky like that, that the Hawks have played pretty poorly in front of Darling a lot this year, most of his starts. I think he only has two wins, but he played well in those games, and I think he's played okay. It's just for some reason – they don't show up when he's in net already a few times, and mm-hmm. that probably rattles him a little bit. He's probably, you know, you don't want to feel that way. You don't want to feel unlucky and have more losses. Because I think he proved himself last year. That series was ridiculous. 7-game series against Nashville, he was fabulous.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just a backup coming in there and saving the team during that time.
And, you know, before we get to before we kind of wrap things up here, and then we always like to dive into some questions from you guys that you send us. I don't know if you saw the game last night, those that are maybe listening to this podcast, but if you didn't, you can go on the internet and you can find this. There was a great moment, and it was everywhere. I saw it on SportsCenter, so it became a national story. The shoot the puck contestant last night was a little girl, and she had a sign that said 5 years cancer free. And she ended up nailing the first one, and she almost made it the second time,
wound up giving it to her.
They gave it to her.
Yeah, I think.
But it was just so cool to see her. She was smiling ear to ear, and a cancer survivor at that young age. It was a really special moment.
That
I thought it was really cool.
if any review is going to go to Toronto, it should have been that one.
Yeah.
There's a lot on the line there, and good for her. I was watching a pregame show, and she was right behind Pat Boyle and the crew with their sign, and Pat kept talking about her. I thought it was very classy of him. He might have talked about her throughout the broadcast. So, yeah, she got a lot of recognition, a great fan, and she had a good shot.
She really did.
It's impressive.
I was impressed. Yeah. I can't remember how old. I could probably look it up really quick, but I mean, she looked like she's probably 7 or 8, maybe.
Yeah, I would guess like first or second grade.
But, you know, after obviously battling through cancer for 5 years,
I mean,
and then to have a cool moment like that in front of 20,000 people.
Good for her.
It was pretty cool. So the Blackhawks podcast, again, I'm Mike Jacobson from WGN Radio. He is Scott King from the Red Eye. Follow him on Twitter at Scott King Media. I'm at Jacobson Radio. Facebook.com/Blackhawks is our Facebook page. Right now, we're going to take some questions that we had some of our listeners pass into us, either via our Facebook page or using the hashtag BlackhawksCrazy, and I will pull those up once my computer actually gets going here. Ah, there we go. All right, the first one here. Don't you love technology sometimes?
Sometimes it does me in.
It's amazing.
Just like it did you in.
Yeah.
Sometimes you can't depend on it.
You can't.
That's why robots will see us.
It's amazing
perish.
How, like, radio, you know, 30 years ago, there was no podcast. There was no internet. You just used the newspaper. That was it.
Guys just read the newspaper on the air.
That's basically,
that's
what,
awesome.
That's basically what they did for the most part, at least in the sports radio. So Edgar Ali. I'm terrible at these names.
With Ayala.
Ayala?
If that is your real name, Edgar. Yeah.
I don't know why. You should just read these because I screw them up every time.
Edgar Ayala, he says, clearly a cap space trade and moving daily. What can Scuderi, parentheses, if anything, bring to the table? Yeah, like we said, it was a cap space move. It appears that way. They get $1 million in relief with the Penguins retaining a third of Scuderi's cap hit. I think what Scuderi can bring is also, like we said, he's a veteran. He won 2 cups. He has that. You have another player who's won a couple cups on a team and who obviously wants to do it again and knows what it's like to get there and to last through the playoffs. But also, he can just be a solid, dependable stay-at-home defenseman like he is. That's been on his role on other teams, and that's why they got him in the trade.
Daly literally requested the trade.
Yeah.
He wasn't happy. Blackhawks wanted to save some cap space. Works out for both sides in the end. So it just didn't work out here for Daly, and you know, you wish the best of luck to him. That's all you can say.
Yeah.
So all right, I'll try it.
Go for
time.
It.
I'm
it's all
try
you.
It this time.
You got it.
You know why I did? Because I could actually read this one.
Nice.
Jen Bennett. Can't screw that up, right? Jen Bennett right there. Should the Hawks make a call up on D? Is it time to send Mash back or give someone else a look? Now Mash, he had the goal the other night.
His first NHL goal.
First
and
NHL
interesting
goal.
Enough, Trevor Daly got him the puck.
Yeah.
Yes. As we said, he's a nice guy, and he got Mischinter's first NHL puck. But I don't know. He just scored. He's been okay on the fourth line. The fourth lines look good with him. I think if anything, I think I mentioned this earlier, they can carry 8 defensemen now. If they want to give a Roosevelt or a Scuderi a rest, or if somebody has a bad game, they can plug back in Gustafson.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that's something that we'll see play out. But I think as of right now, I think they're going to kind of just stand pat, I think.
Yeah, probably. You never know, but that might be the case.
And then the next one, I'm going to go with Mel Gard because I can read that one. Felt like the passes weren't happening for anyone tonight, concerning or one-off fluke. And that was referring to the game last night with the Avalanche. Nobody played well in that game. Nobody played well. And a guy that... He's just really particularly struggling. I mean, at least for him. And he does so many good things. So don't take this the wrong way. I kind of mentioned it last week, too. Jonathan Toews just doesn't look like himself. I mean, particularly on the offensive side. But he does so many things for you because he's so good defensively as well. But I know he missed a few passes last night that I saw.
Yeah.
But you want to get him going. That's for
you
sure.
You do.
But.
And it looks like Toews is the guy to fill that position. His shots have been great.
He's improved.
He's shooting more. His passes are usually on a tape. But I guess to go with Mel's question, I think the Avalanche, as fast as they are, as tough as they are to play against, and as much trouble as they have with Varlamov, that's why they didn't want that matchup 2 years ago in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
That was the
mm-hmm.
one team I think would have been first round. The Hawks did not want to see them, mostly because of Varlamov, but they're a fast team. And last night, I think they're playing kind of a trap D and clogging up the middle, and they were making the Hawks chip pucks in. And mm-hmm. that's why you're not going to pass a lot, or your passes are going to be off a little bit because those guys are filling up the middle of the ice. And, mm-hmm. and the Hawks don't like that dump and chase hockey unless they're winning all the battles. So they were very tough to play against last night, and I think they made it tough to pass too.
This one from Chuck Stansel. We got a couple more here before we wrap things up. Sad to see Kaner's streak end, but he'll start a new one. That said, might the boys play a little more relaxed without the lurking anxiety of wanting to keep him and the streak going? Of course.
Yes.
It's like anything else. I mean, whether it's a point streak, whether it's a win streak, I don't care what the Golden State Warrior said. You answer the same questions over and over, and the pressure just keeps building and building and building. I think it is a sense of relief. We played Kane's comments earlier. We heard Q's comments. It's it.
Yeah.
Now they can just kind of relax and play hockey. So, yes, I do think, and in terms of what Mel was talking about, passing and just not having to always be concerned about, got to get Kane the puck. Because, I mean, in a sense, that's a sense of, you know, of loyalty and gratitude, and the fact that just shows you how much his teammates respect him. But at the same time, it takes you out of your game, and I think Q saw that. So I think, yes, I think this will be definitely something that is more of a benefit to the team as a whole.
Yeah, for sure. I talked to an NHL exec this morning for a story I'm working on, and I asked him about Kane's streak and what it did for the NHL, and he said the thing was so colossal, it was so huge, because they knew that people were turning on the TV and going to Twitter, oh, does Kane have a point, you know, tonight, mm-hmm. this game? So people who aren't necessarily Blackhawks fans want to know if this guy's doing this thing.
Yeah.
Night in and night out. That hasn't happened in 23 years. So it was huge for the league, and obviously Kane was feeling that pressure, knows that everyone's thinking about it. Everyone wants to hear him talk about it, see if he's going to do it still, keep it going. And, you know, his teammates, like we touched on earlier, they saw a lot of people in the locker room asking about it every practice. It's not just after and before games. It's every practice mm-hmm. in every city. So, yeah, they're all glad it's over with and, you know, get a clean slate. And he probably doesn't have to talk to the media for a little bit, so he'll be relaxed, you know. It's a good thing.
And, you know, too, which was funny, I was watching the late Sports Center last night, and guess what the lead was? Patrick Kane. Now, that never happens.
Exactly.
NHL.
Exactly.
They go to Neil Verrett, Neil, whatever his name is, and it's the Los Angeles version, so it's obviously earlier on the West Coast. It's 10 o'clock there, but it was midnight here, and Barry Melrose is the first up, and they said, wow, whoever thought we'd have you starting the show, you know? So, I mean, it became a national story.
Kind of making fun of themselves there for not talking about hockey.
A little bit. So, I mean, it became obviously a huge national story. But it's that's it. Time to put it to rest. So, and the last one here from Paul Vandeven.
I think you got it.
I think I nailed it. Coach Q going to mix up the lines against a red-hot Edmonton team.
Yeah. Just talked about this one.
Yeah.
I want to say maybe third, fourth line. Maybe I actually don't. I'm not sure why he's been out of the lineup, but maybe you get Garbutt back in there instead of Machinter on the fourth line, because Garbutt was playing well on the fourth line too.
Yeah,
with Desjardins has been good there, and you know Kruger's obviously a great center.
Yeah, Edmonton, they have been red hot, 7-2-1 in their last 10, and I mean that's a young and up and coming team. They still got a long way to go, and obviously they don't have Connor McDavid, and there's. But
they're out to prove something without him. Yeah,
yeah, that's a team that's they're well on their way. They finally got the right executives in place. They got a coach. They've got a lot of young talent since they've had
how many years in a row?
Yeah, it's unbelievable. First pick in how many years in a row? Exactly. So that's a team on the rise. So that'll be a team to definitely keep an eye out for. And you will see them tomorrow night at the United Center, and you can hear that fine game and broadcast on WGN Radio and WGNRadio.com. A lot of people don't know that. So if you can listen online, and you can sync it up with your TV, and it's great because as great as Pat Foley and Eddie O are, and I love them both, but John Weidemann and Troy Murray, they do a great job.
You getting all those guys Christmas presents or what?
For those guys?
You know, those guys, just a firm handshake. That's all they need.
Firm handshake, yeah, and maybe
thanks for what you
maybe
do.
A few bucks for the ponies for Eddie. Maybe.
There you go.
He loves them ponies. So, but yeah, no, honestly, so if you don't have it, you should download it, the WGN Radio app on your phone, and WGNRadio.com. You can hear the games there via that way, because I know MLB you cannot hear online because they have certain restrictions. NHL you can. So there you go. So
that's
if you're not near an actual radio, I should say, or terrestrial radio, go ahead and throw on your app or go to the old iPad or computer or whatever, WGNRadio.com. So that's episode 9 in the books on a wet Wednesday here in the city of Chicago.
10 coming soon. It's quite the milestone episode. Soon.
Now, we're hoping to get one in next week. Now, with the holidays next week, I know my schedule might be a little different. Yours might be a little different. So if we do not talk to you next week, we will definitely talk to you the week after. So that's why I'm going to say happy holidays from both myself, Mike Jacobson, and for Scott King. Again, follow us on Twitter, at Jacobson Radio, at Scott King Media, hashtag Blackhawks Crazy Podcast. Send in questions that way. Or if you just want to talk about the podcast, give us some comments, rate it for us. That'd be great. We are on iTunes. You can go to WGNRadio.com and get the podcast. Also, we are on SoundCloud.com/WGN Sports. And finally, most importantly, the Facebook page, Facebook.com/Blackhawks Crazy. Happy holidays to everybody. If we don't
Happy
see you
holidays.
Next week, see you.